Welcome to The Gift of Grace with Phil Gigliotti and Stephen Garchar. The Gift of Grace is a program where we read and teach God's Word, proclaiming the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah. And now, here's your host, Phil Gigliotti and Stephen Garchar.
Well, good evening, everyone, and welcome to The Gift of Grace on the Word 1220. This is Phil Gigliotti here with Stephen Garchar.
Hi, Phil. It's good to have you back with us.
Yeah, it's great to be... Well, it's kind of good to be back. It's not great to be back, but... No, it's great to be back. Always good to be here on Sunday night talking about God's Word and what He's doing in the world. And I just came back from, well, about 10 full days in Israel, 12 days total, and did some ministry things there that we're going to talk about. And last week, Steve didn't even solo it because he had our friend Eric Carpenter with him.
Yes.
I missed that show.
But
I did wake up at 2:30 in the morning the week before that to hear the show.
I said hello to you.
We really did. So my wife and I were set the alarm. We got up at 2:30, listened to the show, and went back to sleep. That's how dedicated we are to the Gifts of Grace radio show.
Well, it's a good thing we didn't lose two listeners.
That's right.
This is the only two we have now. Like, okay.
We really wanted to hear the show while we were in the land of Israel.
So how was your ministry trip there?
Oh, it was great. It was good. It's good to be back, but this was our third trip there, and many of you that listen to the show regularly will remember Pastor Adil, who was here last fall and did a couple of shows with us, and he was in the States doing some ministry in the Youngstown area and here in Cleveland at Tikvat Israel and I think some other little churches and, New Life Fellowship. And and we had a fun time with him. And he pastors a Messianic congregation in Kiryat Shemona, which is the very farthest northern tip of Israel, a couple miles from the Lebanese border and 4 or 5 miles from the Syrian border. So it's exciting place to be. And... when the war starts, he's literally going to be on the front line.
Yeah.
I don't know if he'll be able to do a radio show from there, but we can get firsthand accounts on the fighting.
let's hope we don't have to do that.
Yeah. All kidding aside, those of you in the audience, we really need to pray for Pastor Adil and the congregation, A River of Living Water. And, he does quite a ministry in that area. But in the time that we spent there, we saw a lot of things that were happening. We met with a lot of people. We saw how the Lord's working in his land. I mean, this is the Holy Land. This is the holiest place on earth. It's God's favorite piece of real estate. And I don't know why, because, you know, there's a lot of places that are nicer, but this is his favorite piece of real estate.
That's what he chose.
And we don't argue with him. And, you know, as we always talk on this show, how the plan of salvation unfolds through the scriptures, through his people, through the chosen people, the Jewish people, the Israelites, and whatever else we want to use in terminology, it's quite exciting to be there in the land.
Mm-hmm.
And you really sense his presence there. And even though generally people don't believe in Jesus Yeshua as their Messiah, you know that the Lord's there working. You can just really feel it everywhere you go.
Yeah.
And we started out in Jerusalem. I'm just going to give you a kind of a thumbnail sketch and then we can talk about it. But we started out in Jerusalem and we went to a Messianic congregation that we don't normally go to, which was interesting. And we met with two pastors there. One pastors a large congregation called the King of Kings.
I've heard of that place.
Yeah, it's awesome. It is an awesome congregation. They meet in a big auditorium. They have great music. Steve would love the music. And for those of you that have ever been to a vineyard church, I like to refer to this place as kind of a messianic vineyard. It's like upbeat music played by young people who are just on fire with the Lord, with the Spirit, and on fire with the Lord. And it was just a great place. And Pastor Wayne Hilsden is a great teacher, great preacher. And we had a meeting with him and went to his service and, you know, planned some ministry for next time we go back.
Awesome.
Yeah, it was really good. Awesome. And Pastor Wayne told me that he had listened to a couple of our radio shows online, not at 2:30 in the morning.
What?
Yeah, he likes to sleep for some reason. Anyway, I told him that's no excuse. You can sleep anytime.
So he doesn't listen to this one.
Well, when Gift of Grace, man, when Gift of Grace radio's on, it's not a time to be sleeping.
That's exactly right.
It doesn't matter what time zone you're in.
Just tune in. Everyone yeah. should tune in.
And then we also met the following day with a very, very good friend of ours named Pastor Zvi Randleman, who is originally from New Jersey and pastors a congregation in Jerusalem called Yeshuat Israel. And he has been there since 1974, pastoring this congregation.
Wow.
Yeah. And my wife, Joan, and I have been to his congregation probably five or six times over the last 3 years. And again, it's great music. It's partly in Russian, partly in Hebrew, partly in English.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of neat when you go in, you get a set of headphones and a little electronic thing where you, you know, set the thing whether you want to hear English, Russian, or Hebrew.
Well,
yeah, it's pretty neat. Or Arabic.
How big is the congregation?
Oh, I don't know. Probably 100 people.
Okay.
A little more than 100.
So he's been
King
there since-
of Kings is many hundreds.
Wow.
It's a big auditorium full. But Pastor Randleman has been through a lot of personal issues, a lot of issues in the congregation later. But all these years, you know, 38 years.
38 years, yeah.
He's been very faithful in running this congregation and preaching, and he's had times where he's been very frustrated that there's not more believers coming in.
Mm-hmm.
And, so we really had a really nice time with him, spent the whole afternoon with him.
Wow.
He took us to a drug rehabilitation house that the congregation runs, which was very interesting, and there were volunteers there from all over the world helping these guys that are – it's like a residential drug treatment place. And these guys are studying the Bible and they're praying and they're living there.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah.
Awesome.
And they go to they go to the congregation Saturday morning. So he's really doing the ministry in a really well-rounded way.
Mm-hmm.
Not just preaching, not just teaching. He's, you know, doing the hard work.
He's doing
that Yeshua wants us to do too.
Yeah.
And, it's like, you know, walking the walk and talking the talk.
Wow. So he's doing the rehabilitation too.
Yeah.
That I know that you were telling me that Adil, he took you to a couple drug houses too.
So we did do also some sightseeing and some quiet time and some prayer time. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I'm not going to get into all that, but we then went up into the Galilee and we had met a Catholic priest who was working with a Baptist archaeologist
in the Galilee,
and they kind of accidentally unearthed a first century synagogue, and it's in the modern town of Migdal, which was Migdala, which is where Mary Magdalene was from.
Awesome.
Yes. And the priest is involved with this, I guess you call it a pilgrimage place.
Okay.
It's an expensive hotel with a church. but it's actually
a retreat center or a pilgrimage
center. It's
okay.
A retreat center.
Okay.
And it's actually run by the Vatican, and he's been stationed there for the last 5 years.
Talk about
a cool assignment. But they started working on building this retreat center in Migdal, and after they turned over the first couple shovels of dirt, they found the remains of this synagogue that was built just prior to Jesus being born.
Wow.
And it was abandoned in 68 AD.
Wow.
Just before the destruction of the temple. So the Israeli antiquities people, of course, got involved and they've excavated this whole site. And this young Baptist guy's been working there as part of an archaeology team. And they found a beautiful mosaic and they've reconstructed some of the walls and the doors, and they found the rabbi's chair where he would sit and teach on Shabbat morning. And this beautiful mosaic that was on the floor, and is pretty much a big chunk of it is preserved.
Wow.
And of course it's been weathered and damaged, but they're trying to preserve it the best they can. And it's really cool to think that Jesus himself would have taught there.
So you actually got to see all this as you were there. That's awesome.
Yes. And we actually sat in the rabbi's chair and prayed for quite a long time.
You sat in the rabbi's chair?
I did. Because he told us, since I was the scripture guy, I had to sit in the rabbi's chair.
Your eminence. I mean, I'm sorry. No.
You can kiss my ring later. But he was a really cool guy. In fact, his name is Father Kelly. He wants to come on with us to do a radio show. So when I told him about the radio show, he was all excited.
We'll hook up a live feed at 2:30.
Yeah, we're going to have to hook up a live feed, or we're going to have to figure out a way to record it from Israel. But, so we saw this amazing site, and it's only about 5 miles from Capernaum.
Oh, wow.
And Mary Magdalene lived there. And so that everybody pretty much believes Jesus himself would have been in the synagogue and probably would have taught there. And
so 5 miles from Capernaum, you're really on foot.
It's right on the shore of the Sea of Galilee.
Several hours away on foot.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
A couple hours by foot, probably. Yeah. And it's right on the Sea of Galilee. And, you know, certainly Jesus would have taught there and would have been there a lot.
Wow.
It was right in his neighborhood. And so that was really amazing.
That's awesome.
Yeah. And then from there, we drove to a city called Carmel, which a good friend of Stephen's and I, Irene Friedman and her husband, Siva, pastor a congregation there, which is a really awesome congregation. It's probably about, I don't know, 90 to 100 people. Mm-hmm. And I had the honor, and it was truly a blessing to teach there last year when we were there, and this year teaching at a service. And we had actually quite a nice time there with music and teaching. And it's just a really exciting group of people that are filled with the Spirit and are hungry for the Word. Mm-hmm. And it's like a family setting. As soon as you walk in, everybody comes over and talks to you and hugs you. And, you know, it's really, very nice.
Did you pass out Gifts of Grace ministry cards to everyone?
I did.
Okay, good.
And these were official Gifts of Grace ministry events, I might add.
Okay.
So anybody who would like to send in some donations so we can go back.
So now in Carmel, where Irene is at, is it primarily Russian?
Yes. I should say, before we go on, that you probably all know that when the Soviet Union fell 20 years ago or so, many Soviet Jews emigrated to Israel. They got out, and they made Aliyah. They went to Israel. Mm-hmm. And many of them settled in the north, in Galilee. Mm-hmm. It's not that many in Jerusalem. They're mostly in the north. And many of them have become believers in Yeshua the Messiah. So it's really cool.
Right.
And most of these congregations that are there, and there's a handful now, are predominantly Russian-speaking.
Hmm.
Steve knows Irene well. Irene and her husband are from Ukraine.
Right.
They were miraculously converted to the Lord.
And uprooted.
Walking home from work one day and, you know, met some people from Tennessee or Kentucky or Alabama or somewhere who told them the message of the gospel. I mean, it's a totally unbelievable story. So, you know, it has to be from the Holy Spirit because it doesn't make any sense otherwise. And they are now pastoring this congregation, which is mostly Russian speaking.
Mm-hmm.
And so teaching there is a challenge because you say two sentences and then somebody translates it into Russian. Then you say two more sentences, somebody translates it into Russian. So your normal sort of 25, 30 minute message takes a long time to do. And you kind of lose your train of thought, but it's really cool. And we got to pray over a lot of people there. And, then we met Pastor Adil a couple of days later, who then took us to a congregation again in Migdal.
Spent a lot of time in Migdal, didn't you?
Oh, it was awesome. I'll tell you, I had words from the Lord about Migdal for the last year or so. And just before we went on this trip, it was very powerful. Mm. Kept telling me about Migdal and Migdal. So then all of a sudden we were at a congregation. We were at this synagogue. And then Pastor Adil also took us to another drug rehab place, which overlooked the Sea of Galilee. I mean, it was pretty amazing. It was up on a hill.
Wow.
And there were 10 or 12 guys that were living there, all with Bibles, all praying. Two of them spoke English. The other ones were all Russian.
Wow.
And Adil said, these guys are so hungry for the word, you have to teach them something. And I said, well, what do you guys want to talk about? So we spent about, I don't know, hour and a half just doing a kind of an impromptu teaching about discipleship and following the Lord. And
that's awesome.
Yeah. Studying the scripture. And I did the whole thing standing up, even though it was a small crowd.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason I stood up was I was looking out over the balcony so I could see the shore of the Galilee there. So every time I talked about our friend Peter or Andrew or whoever, I kept pointing with my finger saying, well, right down there when Peter was there.
So now these guys that are there, they're recovering?
Yes. Yes.
They've been clean
for various amounts of time.
Mm-hmm.
And they've become believers. They're all Jews from the former Soviet Union.
Wow.
It's amazing.
That is amazing.
And they've had, you know, people go through, get rehabilitated, go back into the community, and and they're all believers.
And they go
to the various congregations. And well, I'm going to talk about that a little bit later, how exciting the Lord showed me something about that. But then we went up to Kiryat Shemona and spent the day with Pastor Adil and his family in their apartment with three kids and him and his wife and my wife Joan and I kind of crammed into the apartment, and it was about 180 degrees, but there was one room that was air conditioned, so that's where we spent most of our time.
I didn't realize it got that hot over there in Israel.
It's no, yeah, exactly. But Pastor Adil, as you know, is just a energetic 35-year-old pastor who's just
super nice guy.
Yeah, he's
super
really a lot nice of fun. Guy. Really a lot of fun to be with. And I had the honor to teach at his congregation last Friday night. And there were, I don't know, maybe a couple hundred people that came from all the other congregations. And the whole group of these guys in the drug rehab house in Migdal, they all came to that. That's about 45 minutes up the road.
Wow.
And I was very honored that they came.
Wow.
And then,
did they provide them transportation or anything?
I'm not sure how they got there, but it was really cool.
Interesting.
Yeah. And I met a couple, an American couple from New York who moved to Israel 5 years ago and are doing evangelization there.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So we kind of bonded with them too.
Are they Jewish or?
Yeah. It's Jewish, became believers in the early 70s during the Jesus People movement. And then 5 years ago, they moved to Israel.
Wow.
And they actually, they go to a congregation in a city called Akko on the Mediterranean. And their worship leader is Mark Chapinsky, who used to play music with Paul Wilbur.
Oh, really?
And Israel's Hope.
Oh, wow.
So how cool is that for a, how cool is that
for? So you got to meet Mark?
Yeah. I actually didn't meet him.
Oh, okay.
But, I've now been in touch with him by email, but, and then we went back to Carmel for the Sabbath, for the Shabbat. So I got to talk there again and pray over a lot of people. And all the people from the drug houses came there too.
Wow.
So it was really neat. They were like following us around. But it was just really a great time of ministry, both teaching and praying and seeing how the Lord has delivered these guys from addictions to drugs and alcohol. To now they're sitting in a room reading the Bible, praying, and wanting to learn.
Wow.
Because they're so hungry.
Now, what are they, I mean, do they go out and do they work at all?
Or yes. Yeah.
They have a program for them
to work. Yes, they have a program for them to work.
Rehabilitated into culture. Okay.
Yeah.
So That's awesome.
It's pretty neat. So, uh-oh.
Do they play this song over there at all?
They didn't.
What?
I never heard this once.
Oh, my goodness.
I told them come to home group.
Okay.
This is Gift of Grace. We'll be back in just a minute after we listen to this awesome song. Remember, giftofgraceministries.org, and also find us on Facebook. We'll be right back. Israel, Adonai, Blessed is the Lord, Baruch Adonai, Elohei Israel, Adonai, Blessed is the Lord, Hi Ha'olam, Kvad Ha'olam, praise His name, forever and again, Hi Ha'olam,
Listening to The Gift of Grace on AM 1220, The Word.
Well, welcome back to The Gift of Grace on The Word 1220. Before we go on, Stephen's going to tell us something really important that's happening next weekend. We're so excited we can't even stand it.
Okay. The gentleman you just heard singing, Paul Wilbur, will be at the church at Warren on Saturday, July 14th and Sunday, July 15th. And then at Packard Music Hall on Sunday evening, July 15th. So on July 14th, the service at Church at Warren is going to be at 5:30, and the address of the church is 2179 Hoagland Blackstub Road in Cortland, Ohio, 44410. You can contact the church at 330-638-2959 or 330-638-0316. On Sunday morning, on the 15th, they'll have 11 o'clock service. Paul will be doing some teaching and ministry. And then on Sunday evening, the 15th, at 5:30 p.m., there's going to be worship and ministry at the W.D. Packard Music Hall, 1703 Mahoning Avenue, Northwest in Warren, Ohio. Again, the phone numbers are 330-638-2959 or 330-638-0316. And it's going to be an awesome, it's always an awesome time of worship and ministry when Paul and Greg come in to
Oof. Now, wait a minute. So the church at Warren is not in Warren?
No, the church at Warren is in Cortland, Ohio.
Ooh.
Church at Warren.
I see.
Not church in Warren. So it's not, church at Warren.
So it's not the church in Cortland. I mean, it is the church in Cortland.
No, you're going to confuse everyone. Pastor Dave will have a word with you when you get there.
I hope Pastor Dave's listening. Hi, Pastor Dave. Anyway, Pastor Dave is a very good friend of ours, and he is an awesome man of the Lord. And
yeah,
he's almost as much of a Paul Wilbur fan as Steve and I are. But
pretty hard to top.
Anyway, but any of you in the Warren Youngstown area really need to go to this.
Yes.
Because this is, you heard some, you hear a lot of his music on our radio show. And when you hear him in person, not only is the music more powerful, but you find out that he's an outstanding teacher. He has a great sense of humor, and it's a very entertaining experience.
Yeah. It's very entertaining. You're in the presence of the Lord, and it's, it's a lot of fun.
Yes.
Paul makes preaching the gospel and hearing the word of God a lot of fun.
He has the joy of the Lord.
Oh, yeah.
And if you bring him some kosher pickles, he'll be your friend forever.
Oh, my.
But only if they're from Quirky and Lenny's. No offense to the Youngstown people.
Now, how's he going to be able to take all those back home with him? See,
well, we'll have to eat them.
We could drive him down there for him.
We'll have to eat them while we're there. We'll divide them up
okay.
in the audience. But anyway, that song you just heard really kind of leads into a really important thing. You know, it's here we are as Gentiles, mm-hmm. and we're worshiping the God of Israel, and we're worshiping the Messiah of Israel.
Right.
For the most part, the chosen people have not accepted Yeshua as Messiah.
Right.
So isn't that an interesting thing? Because Messiah came for them and also for us, but came to them. So we're the Gentiles, so we're the nations. Whenever in the Bible it talks about nations, it's talking about Gentiles.
Right.
So the nations are going to sing and praise him. And then when Israel comes to the knowledge of the Messiah, they're going to say, amen.
Mm-hmm.
Because they are all of a sudden going to say, wow, these Gentiles have been worshiping our Messiah for 1900 and some years. And we kind of missed the boat on that.
Yeah.
So now we understand he's the Messiah. So now we just say amen to whatever they're doing.
Amen,
we have the one new man from Ephesians 2:14. And the, you know, Stephen and I, of course, if you listen to the show, are very interested in the Hebrew roots of the gospel.
Right.
And on the other side of that coin, it's preaching the gospel to the Jews.
Right.
Because evangelization, according to Jesus, is supposed to be to the Jew first and then the Gentile.
Yes.
So we preach to Gentiles too, but we think it's very important to preach to the Jewish people. So that raises the idea of how do you preach the gospel in Israel? It's a very, very unusual mission field because you have many, many Orthodox and ultra-Orthodox Jews who are totally trying to observe the law.
Mm-hmm.
And they wear, you know, certain clothes that separates them from the others. And, you know, they got on big black coats and big black hats and it's, you know, 98 degrees and they're nice and warm, you know, dressed in layers. And they got all the tallit and then the everything else on underneath the big black coat. I can't even imagine what it feels like under that big black coat.
Wow.
But they are very fervent. Praying, bowing, they know all the prayers, they know all the things you're supposed to say at what time and what day and this and that, and but they don't have the Messiah.
Mm-hmm. So everything, when we read about Paul and John and you know them going to the temple and praying, they still do this.
Oh, yes.
Every day today.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
At 3 o'clock, at 9 o'clock in the morning, 3 o'clock in the afternoon, everything pretty much stops. It's prayer time. And if you're down at the Western Wall or anywhere in the by the Temple Mount, there's hundreds of people praying and bowing and going and, you know, 15, 20 minutes at a time.
Right.
And it's actually pretty interesting to watch.
Yeah.
And we can't show you pictures because this is radio. But When we have Gift of Grace TV, then I'll be able to show you some pictures. But that's a long time in the future.
We can put some up on the website.
I think Yeshua will come back before we have a TV show. But anyway, we don't know. Anyway, seriously. But it's a tough mission field because these guys are not the kind of people you can walk up to and say, do you know Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior? Because you're not going to get a very good reception.
Not very open to that, huh?
No. And they're not going to take your tracts, and they're not going to listen to some goofy-looking Gentile who's standing there telling them about their Jewish Messiah.
Hmm.
And I had that experience 2 years ago debating with one of them, and it was actually quite exciting. But and then you also have Muslims who are fervently Muslim,
mm-hmm.
who don't want to, you know, talk to you on the street about how Jesus is the Messiah and how he died for them.
Right.
They're not going to take your tracts. They're not going to listen to you. And these are people who are born and raised in that thinking,
mm-hmm.
as are the Orthodox Jews, that this is what's right. Mm-hmm. And you're not going to just go up to them and say, oh, let me tell you. Yeah, sometimes that's going to happen.
Right.
But as we know, the coming to faith is a supernatural act.
Exactly. Yeah.
And Pastor Randleman that I was talking about before says he gets frustrated that, you know, he's probably known 5 people that have become believers in the 38 years he's been there.
Wow.
It's a pretty tough go. But he knows, he realizes that this is a supernatural thing that's going to happen. We did a radio show about Paul, you know, in Romans,
mm-hmm.
talking about how Israel will be saved.
Right.
The prophet Zechariah, it's going to be a sudden outpouring of the Spirit that's going to save Israel.
So do they find that there's more of maybe the Jewish people that were exiled and lived in outlying yeah. areas, you know, in Russia or
yeah.
that they come to know the Messiah?
Yes.
Much, well, I don't want to say much easier, but easier yes. than
exactly.
the Orthodox Jews that are in the land.
Exactly.
Okay.
These people we talked about coming from the former Soviet Union, the Russian speaking, Ukrainian speaking, mm-hmm. and Pastor Adil's from Uzbekistan.
Yes.
He's my favorite Uzbek. But, because, you know, after all, he's the only Uzbeks ever stayed in my house.
That's true.
Probably the only ones ever gonna. But. It's, you know, this, you've heard us talk about, you know, small groups of unlikely people that are used in ministry.
Right.
And Yeshua picks, you know, these 12 unlikely guys and says, okay, you're going to go in the whole world. You're going to preach.
Yeah.
And they're all looking at each other like, what? We're going to go do what? You know,
yeah.
let's get back to that. Are you going to do the kingdom now thing?
Yeah. They were pretty stuck on that.
Yeah. Let's go back to fishing or something that we can get our hands around.
Right.
But, you know, when you think about it, God starting with Abraham, he picks people all through the Bible, Old Testament and New Testament,
mm-hmm.
of who's going to do the ministry. It was Abraham, you know, and then it was Jacob over Esau. Then it was Judah over his brothers.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the story of Gideon in the book of Judges.
Right.
You know, he's hiding from the Midianites in a basement, and the angel of the Lord says, you know, you're a man, a mighty man of valor. And he says, who, me? He goes, yeah. You're going to win. You're going to win the battle.
I am.
But he's got like 30,000 guys, and God says to him, that's too many guys.
Yeah.
So he says, tell anybody who's scared to go home. So, you know, 22,000 of them go home. And he goes, oh, man, God says, that's too many people. And Gideon says, listen, I don't know how you guys fight battles in heaven, but down here, the more guys you have, the better. No, he didn't say that. But, you know, he ends up with 300 men
yeah.
who defeat the Midianites.
Out of 30,000.
Yes. And God says to him, because this little force does it, you know that I did it and not the little force.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a remnant. Then our friend Elijah in 1 Kings 19, you know, he does this amazing thing on Mount Carmel, which reminds me of another Paul Wilbur song, Lord God of Abraham. But anyway, and then, you know, he runs away because Queen Jezebel wants him killed.
Mm-hmm.
So this mighty prophet runs 200 miles away and he's hiding.
Yeah.
He's saying, oh, Lord, yeah, just kill me.
Crying out to the Lord.
Can't handle this anymore. Just kill me. And the Lord says to him, dude, pull yourself together. He goes, no, I don't want to do anything. I'm the only one who follows you. The mm-hmm. only one. God says, you're not the only one. I got 7,000 guys
mm-hmm.
who haven't bowed the knee to Baal.
Right.
And so this remnant of people is going to reestablish the word,
mm-hmm.
is going to do my ministry, this remnant. Now, when you think, we know that 600,000 men came out of Egypt, and we talked about how there's 2 to 3 million people that go into the land. So 7,000 people is not a big number, a big percentage.
Not out of a couple million.
Right.
No.
So a small remnant of people that's still faithful.
Mm-hmm.
And as we talked about a few shows ago, you know, Yeshua picks this small group of men, gives them the Great Commission, says, go and make disciples. This little group of guys. He doesn't go to the temple and get all the smart Pharisees. He doesn't get millions of people and hundreds of thousands of people involved.
Right.
It's these 12 guys. And yeah. They're going to go and make disciples because they get empowered by the Spirit.
Right.
And it's looking back, it's the same as with Gideon and with Elijah, a small remnant, so you know that they're not the ones who did it.
Right.
It's done by the power of the Spirit.
Yep. It's been by power of God.
That's right. And it's not by might, and it's not by the power. It's by the Spirit that this is going to happen. And this is how he uses remnants of people, remnants of believers mm-hmm. in ministry. And this is what we are now.
Yeah.
I mean, in our country, we're a remnant.
Right.
Most of the culture is not going around worrying about their status before God, what kind of sinners they are, and, you know, looking for salvation in the Messiah. They're just kind of living their life and having fun.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. You know, when you're talking about the Orthodox in the land and then the Muslims who are in the land,
mm-hmm.
is now, I know the one contention is they're between Isaac and Ishmael.
Uh-huh.
You know,
mm-hmm.
and do you find have you had the opportunity to talk to anybody in the land about any of those things, or is that a big part of contention between the two sects of people? That
it's a big part of contention. Yeah. The Muslims control the Temple Mount,
right?
Which is, you know, the place where God put His name, mm-hmm. the place where the temple was.
Right
now has, as you all know, I'm sure, two big mosques.
Yeah.
The big gold dome that's kind of the symbol of Jerusalem is a big mosque.
Mm-hmm.
And that supposedly has the rock in it. That's why it's called the Dome of the Rock, where Abraham, they say, was going to sacrifice Ishmael,
mm-hmm.
which we know he was going to sacrifice Isaac.
Right.
They feel that the scripture was perverted and that it was actually Ishmael
mm-hmm.
who was the chosen one.
Right.
So that's a big bone of contention.
Yeah.
Right there.
That's been going on for a long time.
Yes.
Yeah.
And as you go through security to go to the Temple Mount, which is run by the Israelis,
mm-hmm.
but the Muslims control the Temple Mount. And there's this big sign that says, the rabbis say you absolutely are not allowed to go to the Temple Mount if you're a Jew.
Mm.
You're absolutely forbidden from going up there.
Wow.
Because the issue is, the temple was there. They don't know exactly where the Holy of Holies was. So you're not supposed to be up there kind of just walking around.
Mm-hmm. Because
you might step where the Holy of Holies was and defile.
Mm.
But of course, the Muslims have been up there for many, many centuries.
Yeah.
So Jerusalem's been trodden down by Gentiles,
mm-hmm.
as the scripture says.
Yeah.
And pretty soon the time of the Gentiles will be done.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, there's a lot of contention because the Jews won't go up there. If a Jew goes up there, it sets off a whole riot.
Yeah. So, and that's the place where Jesus is supposed to return, correct?
The Mount of Olives, yeah. Right behind there.
Right behind there.
Yeah. Mount of Olives is a predominantly Muslim neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
And we go up there sometimes, but I don't like driving up there. It's a little bit oppressive.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a lot of contention. Absolutely.
Yeah, can you just feel the tension?
Oh, yes.
In the environment?
Especially on the Temple Mount.
Yeah.
And, you know, they won't let you go up there if you've got shorts on or sleeveless shirt. Women have to be pretty much covered. And if you're not,
right.
they'll either turn you away or they'll cover you.
Mm-hmm.
And You know, you can feel the tension.
Yeah.
And so that's the setting now. I mean, this is why, you know, the prophets say that Jerusalem's going to be a cup of trembling at the end. Wow. There's so much tension there.
Mm-hmm.
And the Christians are such a small number in comparison. Whether Jewish believers or Gentile believers, it's a small number.
Compared to the number of Muslims, yes, and the number of Orthodox,
yes,
Jews.
Orthodox, yeah. So, you know, it's a remnant of believers. You know, and as a remnant, we have to stand on the rock. We have to stand on the word. Because
mm-hmm.
we have the message of salvation for both
right.
of them.
Yeah.
But certainly for the Jews first.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we're the ones that have to take the gospel out, even though we're a small remnant. And so it's really an amazing mission field. Oh, I hear music already. Oh, it's already the second break. All right, we're going to take a couple of minutes to hear this. This is Gift of Grace on the Word 1220. We'll be back in just a minute.
listening to The Gift of Grace on AM 1220, The Word.
Well, welcome back, everyone, to The Gift of Grace on The Word 1220. Let's have Stephen announce next week's things again so you can go.
Okay, this coming Saturday and Sunday, July 14th and 15th, Paul Wilbur will be at Church at Warren in Cortland, Ohio, on Hoagland Black Stub Road. You can get more information. Go to WilburMinistries.com. Go to their events page, and you can get the information there. Or you can contact the church at 330-638-2959 or 330-638-0316. The service on Saturday, July 14th, will be at 5:30 p.m. There'll be a time of ministry and worship. And also on Sunday, July 15th, at the church, there'll be a time of ministry and teaching. And then on Sunday evening at 5:30 on July 15th, Paul and Greg will be at the W.D. Packard Music Hall on Mahoning Avenue in Warren. Again, 330-638-2959 or 330-638-0316 for more information. And they're being brought in by the church at Warren and Pastor Dave Natale, our good friend.
Our good friend. Awesome guy. We hope he's listening. Hi, Pastor Dave. Anyway.
Pastor Dave. Howdy.
We love Pastor Dave. So we were talking during the break, and one thing I should mention, that because of the overwhelming influence of the Orthodox and the ultra-Orthodox, most of the Messianic congregations are almost underground.
Hmm.
In the sense that when you look them up online, they give you a phone number to call for information and to tell you where they meet. And it's really kind of unnerving. Some of them will tell you their address.
Right.
Like King of Kings will tell you their address. And
yeah.
Zvi Randleman's will tell you where they meet. But most of them you have to call a number.
Wow.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a whole different environment than what we're used to here in the United States.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
You know.
Absolutely. And you can, you know, if you drive on the Sabbath, you can get stoned. You drive through an Orthodox neighborhood, they'll throw stones at your car.
Mm.
And, you know, they have incidents like that all the time.
Yeah.
And they had an incident not too long ago where a woman got on a bus that they felt was not appropriately dressed. And, there was a big hoopla that became like a national thing.
Yeah.
That these Orthodox guys just berated her and told her she had to get off the bus. And, yeah. But, you know, this thing about, you know, taking the gospel, I mean, that just is an example of what a hard mission field it is.
Yeah.
And it's got to be a supernatural event that's going to convert them. And these people who have come from the former Soviet Union, you know, they're a remnant. You know, now they have the law written on their heart.
Right.
Not on stone.
Right.
They've come to accept Yeshua as their Messiah. They're filled with the Spirit. They know about Pentecost. They're ready for the harvest. And as Pastor Adil says, we think Jesus is coming back any day now, so we don't, you know, we don't sit around relaxing or, you know, watching TV. We're just doing something all the time, which is pretty neat.
That is interesting.
And when he was here last year, he said, you know, the church in America is asleep. And I said, well, we could have told you that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, because he really thought we were going to be doing stuff like all day.
All day long.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. He thought Christians in America were just always running around doing stuff. He was very surprised.
Yeah.
So these immigrants are another remnant, another unlikely group of people that are now in the land.
Yeah.
And we see from the prophets, especially Zechariah and what Paul wrote, you know, the time is moving. You know, the Muslim Brotherhood's taken over Egypt.
Right.
Hezbollah controls Lebanon. Syria's in chaos. Iran's getting nukes.
Yeah.
The land is surrounded by enemies, you know, and the stage is being set.
Yeah.
It's going to be a powerful supernatural event that's going to happen. It may be war. It may be just a threat of war. We don't know.
Could be the return.
Yes. And if you read in Zechariah chapter 12, you know, there's a spirit's going to be poured out on Jerusalem and they're going to all be converted. And they're going to realize that Yeshua is the Messiah and they're going to mourn like you mourn for an only son.
Yeah. You know, it kind of reminds me like when Peter says, Lord, if that's you, command me to come out and walk to you on the water.
Yeah.
And as soon as he took his eyes off the Lord, he started to sink.
Yeah, good point.
And the Lord had to pull him out. Oh, ye of little faith, why did you, you know?
Yeah.
Why didn't you believe?
Good point.
You know, why did you doubt? And I think in the times of, that we live in these times of trial and tribulation and strife, we hear, and we have a 24/7 news cycle that just constantly gives us all this stuff. Plus, you can get RSS feeds, you can get, you know, instant text messages, everything online. That we can easily take our eyes off of the Lord and easily take our eyes off that, you know, God has a plan and that plan is going to be fulfilled.
Yes.
With or without our help sometimes.
That's right.
But that we don't, you know, we don't lose hope.
Right.
In the Lord and the promises of the Lord and still, like you're saying, that's a tough mission field.
And this is the message of encouragement that I tried to give to these congregations. Because they can get frustrated because they're out there doing stuff every day.
Yeah.
And they're not seeing like scores and hundreds of people going, oh, yes, I understand now. I'm coming too.
They're not getting the 3,000 people in like Peter did.
No.
Either. Yeah.
They're getting people say, get away from me, you.
Yeah.
And Pastor Otto, unfortunately, last year even had his building firebombed.
Wow.
Which caused actually quite a bit of damage.
And,
you know, these are not congregations that have a lot of money.
Right.
Oh, wow, we're coming to the end already. Well, we are at the end already. Well, thanks for listening. I hope you've had an awesome Lord's Day.
Well, we pray for the peace of Jerusalem, and we hope that you had an awesome Lord's Day, everyone, and keep the gift of grace in your prayers and the nation of Israel.
And pray for those congregations.
Amen. Have an awesome Lord's Day. You've been listening to The Gift of Grace with Phil Giliotti and Stephen Garchar. Phil and Steve will be back next week when they will once again teach God's Word, proclaiming the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah, right here on AM 1220, The Word. Thanks and God bless.